Well, good morning, church. Good to be back with you. I missed you last week. I was at home at Carmichael's First Church and experiencing the love and grace that they have in that church and feeding on that and then coming back to be with you. But it's always good to be with you and to be back in the saddle and be ready to go. So we have in our bulletins this wonderful pamphlet about the Precious Life Ministries. And that is a wonderful little ministry. It's easy for the church to take stands on positions in politics. And it's easy for us to become judgmental. It's easy for us to become, well, we are the church, to become preachy about those sort of things and to think that we have the answers for everybody's problems. And the answer really isn't the church. The answer is Jesus Christ. But oftentimes what we do is when we find somebody is doing something that we don't agree with, rather than try to understand that, rather than try to find hope and answers for them, we respond like the people in the story of in John, where the people come with the woman caught in adultery and say, "Come on, let's stone her." And Jesus says, "Now you wait. This is someone who is precious in God's sight, someone who God loves very much. Now you cast the first stone if you are found without sin." It's easy for us. I guarantee you that there is someone in your life who has had to make that decision for abortion, for or against. I guarantee it. But you may not know that person has experienced that sort of struggle in their life because we have attached such stigma to this procedure known as abortion. I wish that there was no such thing. I wish that there was no one who had to make that decision. But I do know this. God is not calling us as a church to then stand in judgment of those who've had to make that decision. God is calling us to love them, to welcome them, to tell them that God loves them, and so do we. And for those who make the decision, "I'm not going to have an abortion, even though it would be the easiest thing to do, but I'm going to choose to have this child," that the church should then be with them and say, "Okay, you've made this decision, and now we as a church are going to help you along the way." Precious Life Ministries is one of those ministries that says, we're not just going to say we're against abortion. We're going to do something to help those who've had to make that decision. And so there it is. Do with that what you see fit. But in your own life, whether it's this cause or another cause, rather than just make a decision and say, "I don't like this, therefore I'm against it," find out how God is calling you to serve so that no one has to make that kind of choice. Amen? Let's join together in the scripture this morning. Every single word of this scripture is about Jesus Christ. Come with me. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good. He separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a vault between the waters to separate the water from the water." So God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above it. And it was so. God called the vault sky. And there was evening. And there was morning. the second day. Jesus is the Word of God. Thanks be to God. Pray with me, friends. Lord, help us to understand these words, to allow them to sink into the very depths of our soul, to understand that you are speaking to us through these words written so long ago about your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us, God, to live these words, to allow them to become our guide. For all of Scripture, from beginning to end, every verse points us to your Son, Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, enliven these words, enliven our hearts, enliven our spirits, enliven our church. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Had to use my notes today. I've been trying to go without notes. I've got a very important meeting with a group called BOOM, the Board of Ordained Ministry, and they're going to be coming here for a day on Thursday, February 12th. They're going to spend an evening with us, and all of you are invited to come to that. And there'll be a schedule coming out next week to let you know all about that. But here's the key. They want to know how things are going here. They want to know, if we ordain this fella, is he going to represent the church? Is he going to represent Jesus? Is he going to represent you in a way that pleases and honors God? So I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to sharing with them you. You're my pride and joy. You know that? When I go other places, I say, you should see the church at Scalp Level Trinity, how God is active and alive and at work there, how God is doing great things, and they're willing to allow me to tag along with them on this journey called life, and what a joy it is to be with you. Genesis, the very first book of Scripture, the very first passages that we find in God's Word. You may think Jesus doesn't appear in the Scripture until all the way toward the end in the New Testament, in the Gospels. And my friends, you would be sorely mistaken if you thought that. Because every single passage, even the difficult ones, even the painful ones, from Genesis to Revelation, are all about Jesus. There's nothing in the Scriptures that doesn't point to Jesus Christ. Most of the time, we miss that. It's only when the Holy Spirit allows us to see that our eyes are opened, and we begin to make the connections. There are more connections between Genesis and the Gospels than you can possibly imagine. And there are connections between Genesis and Revelation. It all ties together. God knows what God is doing when God gives to us the Word. And in this particular passage, we find God at work forming the fabric of existence, forming the fabric of creation. And whether you believe that event took place 6,000 years ago, 6 million, 6 billion years ago, just understand that it's God at work. Scientists have discovered that the universe is very mathematical. I used to love science as a small child. And then I found out as I got older that the science teacher wanted to use more and more math. And that's when I started to lose my interest in science. I don't know about you. I haven't used the quadratic equation since I left high school, and I don't plan to use it anytime soon. But woven into the fabric of existence, of creation, are God's fingerprints all over the place. And science oftentimes tries to disprove God. Well, you're not going to be able to do that. You can't prove God. You just have to accept God by faith. God is far more mysterious than we can possibly imagine. And it's God's will that we love God, and we love each other, and we do the things that God has told us to do. It's really that simple. You get 24 hours a day, and you get about 365 of those days in a year. And then God will give you any number of years. Some of you a lot more than others. Some of you will have very, very short years. Some will have very, very long years. It's not the number of those years that's important. It's what you do with the years that God is giving you. Are you loving God with those years? Are you loving the people in your life with those years? And are you doing everything you can to honor and keep God's commandments with the years that you are given? And I guarantee you, whether it is 100 years or 20 years or just a few hours, God is pleased when you live your life loving Him, loving each other, and attending to God's commandments. That's God's will for your life. Oftentimes I hear people say, "Oh, I don't know if it's God's will that I go and get this new job. I don't know if it's God's will if I marry this person. I don't know if it's God's will if I, you know, move across the country, who I vote for." All of these things that we think, is it God's will? Let me tell you something. If you by marrying the person that you're thinking about marrying, you're going to honor God and honor the people around you and attend to God's commandments, that's God's will. If you're going to move across the state for a new job, move across the country, move across the world, and by doing that you're going to love God and love the people around you and attend to God's commandments, guess what? It's God's will that you go and do that. God gives us this amazing freedom to use our days any way we want. Really, think about that. If you wanted to walk outside right now and go and dance in the field, you could do that. If you wanted to sit here after we all leave and spend some time here in the church, you could do that. If you wanted to go rob a bank, don't do it. But you could do that. God gives you the freedom to do all these amazing things. What do you do with the days that you have? How do you use your days to honor God, to honor each other, and to attend to God's commandments? You may know that I end every sermon the same way. Have you figured that out yet? I do that deliberately, not because it's a clever way to end the sermon, but because it really is the gospel, that God loves you, and I love you too. And I can't think of any better way to send you out into the world and to let you know that there's someone who loves you. It's our Lord Jesus Christ. And there's someone else who loves you too. It's me. I care about you. I care about what happens when you leave this place and how you live your lives, because I want every single person who encounters you to experience what I've experienced, the love of Jesus Christ poured into your lives, which you have given to me. Go and give that away to the people all around you. You may know that my mom passed away this last week. Last Friday, I received a call that she wasn't doing well, and we kind of knew it was the end. We knew that she wasn't long for the world, and there was no place that I needed to be more than to be with her up in Clarion. So I made one text, because we don't call anybody anymore, do we? I made one text to that lady back there, Kathy Allison. And before I even left my house to go to be with Mom, already Mona was ready to go with the sermon, and already the church was praying for Mom and for my family. One text, and this church responded with such an outpouring of love that I will never forget. Mona. I thought she ascended. Yeah. Oh, good, we can talk about her because she's not here. Isn't it a blessing to have Mona in your church? Amen? Amen. She can hear me. Let's talk about her anyway. What a blessing it is that to just a moment's notice, she was ready to share with you the hope that was within her, the love of Jesus Christ, that she's willing to share and stand up here and do that. What a blessing it is to have people like that. This guy right here, Brett, you may remember when I first found out about Mom's stroke, that was a really hard moment because I knew that was probably going to be what would eventually cause her to go to the kingdom triumphant. And in the midst of my emotion about that, this guy right here came up here, and many of you came up, and oh, she's back. Many of you came up and laid hands and prayed for me, and it really represented to me what the church is all about, lifting each other up. I can't thank you enough. That meant so much to me. It still does. I still get choked up about it, thinking about how wonderfully you love me. Give that away. It's not just for me. It's for the whole world. That's what the church is called to be. So that when you find out that someone is in trouble, when someone is sick, when someone is experiencing horrendous life-changing decisions, that the church is there for them. I have a table full of cards over at the house from so many of you who sent some thoughts and some prayers and some banana bread. You can't go wrong with that. But what a blessing to be surrounded by people who love me. Share that. Give it away to this community. Windber and Johnstown and Central City, Paint Township. Can you imagine a community that is that kind of community that is transformed by the love of Jesus Christ, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, so that in such a mighty and powerful way, this community becomes one that just exudes love and grace and peace? Could you imagine what that would do to our drug problem? Can you imagine what that would do to our unemployment problem? Can you imagine what that would do to poverty if this community began to live and reflect the grace and love of Jesus Christ in that kind of real and powerful way? I got to tell you, Alice, our superintendent, she came to me at the viewing and said, "Do you need somebody for Sunday? Because if you need somebody for Sunday, I'll get somebody right away. It won't be a problem." And I said, "There's no place that I'd rather be than back with this church on a Sunday morning. And there's no place that I'd rather be than with you and sharing the love of Jesus Christ." And this is, there's no question in my mind. It's like, yeah, I'm going to worship God here. And I'm so thankful that church is not just a place for cheerful people. Think about that. Too often we want to, as a church, cover everything with a happy smile. And sometimes I'm guilty of that because I tend to smile a lot. You may not have noticed that about me. But I'll tell you, when you are hurting, when you are grieving, when you have totally messed up your life, there should be no place more that you would rather be than in God's house, worshiping with God's people. Because this should be the kind of place where you find the love and acceptance that you won't find out in the world. The Beatitudes. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Those are really tough things, but God says, blessed are you, because God draws near. And I especially cling to, blessed are those who mourn, for you will be comforted. I experienced that in a powerful and real way these last few weeks, so I am so thankful. 70 years is what Mom got. 70 years. I'm so blessed that I got to spend 39 and a half of them with her. His mom was an amazing lady. What did she do with those 70 years? Here we have two wonderful little books. If you go to my office, you'll see them sitting on a shelf of honor. This is Grandma's Bible. This is one of Mom's Bibles. One of Mom's Bibles. I want the one that I wrote in when I was a child. I found the book of James and I took a green crayon to it. That's what I did. These represent lives well lived. Examples set forth in my life. I would not be here today without the example of those godly women in my life. I wouldn't be here. I'd be living in a box somewhere in somebody's basement. But I'm blessed because I had these godly women, my grandparents and my mom and my dad, who showed me to give the love of Jesus Christ away. And there's no better thing that I can do than to be with you on a Sunday morning and to encourage you to get out and go share that love with the people in your lives. Mom had four kids. I'm the youngest. When they stopped and they had me, they had no need to continue. Why are you laughing? No need to continue after me. And let me assure you, every single Sunday, that car was loaded with four kids headed to church. That was the example that was set forth in my life. Mom was a lady who was always serving. She liked to craft. She'd make all sorts of crafts. And one of the ways that she served the church was she helped to form this little store called the Axe Shop. Arts, crafts, talents, and service. And it started as this little craft store that was built in one of the rooms of the church. And it became this place where clothing would be sold for very, very low cost to the people in the community. She helped to make that happen. Saul needed a community and responded to it. Sunday school teacher, choir member, board member, pastor, parish, relations committee chair. All of these things that she did to serve the church weren't so that she could say, look at me, how proud I am to serve. She did them because something needed to be done in the church and she was willing to serve. And she encouraged her kids. She didn't push us. She encouraged us every step of the way. Couldn't have asked for a better cheerleader. Because every step of the way, every step of the journey, Mom is right there cheering us on. Couldn't ask for a better grandmother. Grandma's little cupcake, she calls him. And a woman of prayer. She's my prayer warrior. I always knew that I was prayed for. My biggest supporter. Every year, I go to annual conference. And one of those days, she'd come along from Clarion to come be with me. And she'd go to each like this. This is my pastor's son. This is my pastor's son. And yet, as much as I miss her, I cling to this, Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. O Lord Almighty, my God, my King, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Hear my prayer, O Lord. my God Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Look upon our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord is the sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk in his ways. The Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. And so I don't worry about Mom. I know where she is. I know who she's with. And I don't worry about myself. Yeah. Things will come along the way and I'll feel sad and I'll miss her. But you know what? I know who she's with and I know where she is. I lift up Dave, her husband. I lift up my family. Genesis chapter 1. God sets the stage. Here he has set the ocean below us and the sky above us. This empty stage in which God can create wonderful and miraculous things. And God can use each and every one of you to help to fill that stage with God's will. Love God. Love each other. And do what God says. Use your years wisely. Become someone's cheerleader. Whether you have kids or you don't have kids, or your kids are all grown, let someone know that you're praying for them and encourage them. Let them know that you love them so much that you would take a portion of your day to let God know you're thinking about them and that you want good things for them in their life. And you will create a kind of legacy that extends far beyond your years. God loves you, and so do I. Amen.